I'm going to ask some questions. Do not raise your hand outwardly, but it's okay to raise your hand inwardly. Now, those of you who are watching, if you're alone, you can raise your hand outwardly or inwardly. But if you're with a group of people, you know, make it an inward raising of the hand, if indeed you believe you should raise your hand. So, here are the questions. Number one, how many of you are called to be an evangelist? How many of you are called to be a prophet? How many of you are called to be a teacher? How many of you are called to be an apostle? How many of you are called to be a pastor? How many of you are called to governments? How many of you are called to helps? That's kind of a loaded question because most people in the body of Christ really do not understand the ministry of helps. But I'm not here to teach on that tonight. I ask those questions because a lot of people don't understand the whole concept of ministry callings. I can remember many years ago, Kathy and I, the church we were attending, they had somebody come in who was teaching about ministry gifts and callings and so forth. They passed out these little like questionnaire things. And, you know, you had to, like, I forget what we did, but it had to do with numbers associated with each question. I think we had to, like, you know, fill in number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 or something. I don't know what it was. Anyway, by the time it was over, you added up all the points. And then you compared the number of points to a corresponding list of, if your score was summa to such and such, then you're called to be a pastor. And if your points were this, and so on and so forth, down the list it went. Well, you know, at the time, I didn't know any better, and so I kind of thought, well, all right, then I guess that's the way it is. But as the years have gone by, I sure don't mean to offend anybody, but you know, that's not the way to do it. And now that I understand things better, I've seen some of these, and there are ministry callings on some of these that aren't even ministry callings. But if you tell somebody it's a ministry calling, well, and they don't know any better, then they think, okay, well, that's me. And there's just so, I'm not even going to go into all of this, but you know, there's one place where you can order, you know, your little evaluation test. And for, I don't know, I think it was something like for $20, you get the, like, 15 ministry calling evaluation test. But for like $30, you got the 20 ministry calling evaluation test. Then for like $40, you got like the 30 ministry calling evaluation test. And what a con job. That is about, that's nothing about money. It's all about money. It's all about money. Because if you were really concerned about helping the body of Christ find their ministry calling, you wouldn't have it broken down because, you know, okay, if I send you in, all the money I have is for the 15 ministry calling questionnaire. Well, okay, that's 15, but what if my ministry calling happens to be number 27? All right, we'll see. I don't have a chance of finding out. So it's really an insult to the body of Christ and really even to God that you come up with things like this. But, you know, the people that do that, I truly want to believe they're just trying to help Christians. Well, as I went through that list, you either did or didn't raise your hand on the inside. So that brings up a question. What am I supposed to do then to not only find out my ministry calling, but to confirm it and to be ready for it? I mean, what kind of an approach should I take? Well, I'd like you to turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read several verses, but not all from the same book. you're going to notice a pattern. And I'm asking you to, you know, pay close attention to what we read. Because there'll be another question after we're finished reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and, you know, accompanied by Sosthenes, our brother. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. All right, now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And this time he's accompanied by, you know, Timothy and so forth. But Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Okay, now turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. But again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Notice how it's a little different here. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. See how this is stated a little bit differently. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Leave your finger here and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice how this is written. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. See that? Okay, now, we'll be kind of flipping back and forth for a moment or two between Galatians 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. Did you notice in what we read, there was absolutely no mention of the Holy Spirit? Did you? I mean, in every single one of these, Paul, an apostle by the will of God, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And then here in Galatians 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 1, again, no mention of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely none. Also notice that in every single one of these, his apostleship is connected to Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus. Not Paul, an apostle of God, or Paul, an apostle of the Father, or Paul, an apostle of the Holy Spirit. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The ministry callings apostle, prophet, evangelist, etc., etc. The ministry callings are, how can I say this without sounding like a heretic? The ministry callings are exclusive to Jesus Christ relative to who we're representing here on this earth. Now, this does not mean that God the Father, God the Holy Spirit are not involved. However, Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Then here in Galatians, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And in 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Okay, now, for a moment, Scripture has been given to us by God. That means that what we have read is God getting something or trying to get something across to us. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Okay, why is it Jesus Christ and not the Father, or not the Son, or not the Holy Spirit? Why is it Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ? Now, if we were to modernize this for us, for example, me, Jim, a pastor for Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Or whoever, an evangelist for Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Meaning, the same statement that Paul wrote about himself would be relative to every single one of us as it pertains to our ministry calling. Okay, well, that then takes us back to the question, okay, why Jesus Christ? Why Jesus? Why not the Father? Why not the Holy Spirit? Why not Paul, an apostle of God? Why not, you know, Bob, an apostle or an evangelist for God? Why Jesus? Why does it say Jesus? All right, well, the answer is in, and we'll come back here to Galatians chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 1, but look in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, it's talking here about God and what he's done for us through Jesus. And you pick this up. And in verse 22, it says that God hath put all things under his, Jesus, feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So what do we see? We see, now bear with me, okay? God the Father is not the head of the church. That's not blasphemy. Well, how do you figure it's not blasphemy? Because God's the one who made Jesus the head of the church. God the Father is not the head of the church. God the Holy Spirit is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body. Therefore, when it says, or when Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's got the order right. Now, this does, again, this does not diminish the role of God the Father or God the Holy Spirit in our lives relative to our ministry colleagues. There's a point here in this. In Galatians, look back in Galatians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Okay, what is Paul telling us? He's saying, no human gave me this ministry calling. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. Well, I'm glad it makes sense to you. However, there are a lot of Christians who are pursuing a ministry calling based upon what a preacher did for them when he laid his hands on them and called them to be a fill in the blank. Yeah, thou art called to be an evangelist. Glory to God, you hear that? I'm called to be an evangelist. How do you know? Well, because the preacher laid hands on me and prophesied my calling. Oh, yeah? Let me get this straight. You're going to pursue a calling because a human being laid his hands on you and told you what he thinks you're supposed to do? If anybody would have the right to do that, it would be the Apostle Paul. He wrote so much of the New Testament. He obviously has an understanding of these things. But he writes, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. What that means is, if you have ever stood in a prayer line and had a preacher lay hands on you and prophesy your ministry calling to you, and that's where it ended, you may be making the biggest mistake of your life, because you are trying to live on the words of a human being, and even the Apostle Paul says, sorry, it doesn't work that way. My calling did not come from man. No matter how many times anybody in the Bible laid hands on me, spoke over me, prayed for me, prophesied over me, the bottom line is this ministry calling was imparted to me by Jesus Christ according to the will of God. And that's it. What I've just shared with you in the last, what, maybe 5 minutes, a lot of Christians would be very upset because they've received their ministry calling through the prophetic, I say that, sarcastically, through the perceived prophetic voice of another human. Look, let me just digress for a moment here. Too many Christians do not know how to discern the difference between a genuine prophetic voice and somebody who's speaking out of their flesh, their mind, or their emotions. We can talk about that another time. But what we see is that the Apostle Paul is confirming to us a ministry calling does not come by man or through man. It comes by Jesus and God the Father. That's it. Now, this is confirmed for us. Well, if you look over here, back over in 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, this is interesting because the way this is written, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. Well, wait a second, I thought Jesus was our Savior. Well, he is, but it says here, God our Savior. That's right, it does. You know why? Because this is establishing a unity between God the Father, God the Son, and ministry callings. In other words, okay, yeah, I need to share this. The Bible is written in a way to try to help us with our human minds understand how God works. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. But he reveals himself from three different perspectives to try to help us understand what's going on. In this, we see a distinct unity, oneness, between God and Jesus, but we also are seeing revealed that God has given to Jesus an instruction relative to the ministry calling each person is supposed to have. Now, we're not going to look at it. In fact, you can go ahead and turn back over to Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you go over, you can look this up later on, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first part of that chapter is a discussion about, or a revelation, or a teaching about the gifts of the Spirit. They are not the gifts of Jesus or the gifts of the Father. They are distinctly identified by God in His Word as the gifts of the Spirit. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, we see here in verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ," Jesus Christ. It does not say according to the measure of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is because, remember, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the Holy Spirit. So when we see in this seventh verse, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ," when we understand that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and that the Holy Spirit, let me just say it like this, the Holy Spirit is the one who is in charge of the power gifts, if you will, if you want to call it that. 1 Corinthians 12. That means then that these gifts that have come from Jesus are different gifts from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice in verse 7 what it says. "But unto every one of us." Well, who is the us? Body of Christ. "Unto every one of us." Okay, if you are born again, you are an every one of us. You're in this category. So, "unto every one of us is given." Is given what? Is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, this means that, let me present it this way. Whatever these gifts are that Jesus is giving, evidently they operate differently in each person. Otherwise, the word measure would not be in here. "And He has given us grace according to the measure." In other words, whatever my ministry calling is, He has made available to me 100% of the grace I need for the fulfillment of that calling. And He says, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." When He ascended on high. He who? Jesus. Ascended on high. What does that mean? Well, when He ascended on high. In other words, when He ascended on high, that's when there was a release of these gifts. "Now He that ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He who, Jesus Christ, gave some what? Paraphrased or amplified, and some of the gifts that He gave to people are the callings of apostle or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, I'm not going to get into all of this tonight. I have other teaching series about this. He's incorporating what was first revealed to us in the middle, toward the end of 1 Corinthians 12, when he began talking about the ministry callings. But apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher helps governments. So what I see then is that Jesus has given to every one of us a gift, a ministry calling. And he has given to every one of us, or made available to us, 100% of the grace I need to fulfill that calling. Now, whether I pursue that grace or do what I can to appropriate it into my life, that's totally up to me. But he's made it all available to me. Now, the reason this is important is because he's telling you right here in his word, when you stand before me, you will never be able to say that I did not make available to you the grace you needed to fulfill what I called you to fulfill. Because it's there. Okay, think of it this way. When's the last time any of you ever prayed, Father, may I please have the grace for whatever? Didn't he say in his word, hey, you're facing something? Not a problem. You can come boldly before the throne of grace for what purpose? To receive, obtain, acquire mercy and grace in a time of need. So when's the last time you ask God for the grace? When's the last time you say, Father, I come before your throne of grace to receive from you the grace that I need for whatever? Because he's telling you right here, number one, you received a calling. Well, this kind of goes back earlier. I don't know how many of you are pastors, how many apostles, how many whatever. Did you raise your hand for any of those? Well, no, Pastor, I didn't, because, you know, you didn't identify the calling of nursery worker. There is a reason for that. There's no such ministry calling. Well, you didn't identify the... What's one that's really popular here? Mercy. Yeah, the ministry calling of mercy. Well, that's not a ministry calling. Well, you didn't identify the ministry calling of hospitality. That's a big one. There's no such thing. Brother Martin, I know for a fact there is. How do you know that? Because I took the test and I scored high in hospitality. Okay. See, this is where we went into a major problem. It's because so many people in the body of Christ look externally for the identification of what God has called them to do. Why are you doing that? Man can only mess the Bible up. When we come up with our own ideas, and I've seen people talking about ministry gifts, and they have like four or five different places in Scripture, ministry gifts, and they incorporate 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as though those are ministry gifts. Those are not ministry gifts. So here we see that every single one of us has been given a gift. Therefore, do you know what that gift is? Do you know what you're called to be? A lot of Christians, based on my experience, they don't seem to be too interested in finding out. And the reason for that is they don't understand the critical nature of the call. So let's think a moment. God has made the Holy Spirit the overseer, the steward of the power gifts. But he's made Jesus the overseer or the steward of the ministry gifts, because Jesus is the one who... let's create an image here. Jesus goes to the Father, and he says, Father, what is Kathy supposed to be? And God says, well, I want her to be a prophet. He says, okay. And so God says, now you give her that gift. He says, okay. So he gives Kathy the gift of prophet. Now, that gift has been given to her, and we know from Scripture that the gifts and the callings of God are what? Without change of mind, without repentance, without, I mean, there's There is no refund policy here, okay? You can't take it back. The calling is the calling. So therefore, if God has assigned Jesus the responsibility of distributing these ministry callings to people, and the phrase, every one of us, is used in conjunction with these gifts, doesn't it stand to reason we should really take these seriously? My experience, again, has been that more Christians want to find out how to operate in the 1 Corinthians 12 power gifts than they do in their ministry calling. Those Christians, be nice here, they don't understand. That's a nice way to put it. If you're pursuing nothing but a bunch of the operation of the power, fine. The Corinthian church had it. And the Corinthian church was one messed up bunch of people. Ephesians, though, on the other hand, is bringing us some order relative to this whole concept of ministry callings. So let me just, you know, say it again like this. Okay, you have a ministry calling. Every single one of you here, every single one of you listening to this, and every single one of you watching. Now, what have you, if you don't know what you're called to do, okay, what have you done to find out? Anything? Or is it, does it really matter to you? Well, it should. Because, you know, we talk about, healing, for example. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Healing belongs to me because I'm a Christian and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and He took stripes on His back for my healing. Healing belongs to the believer. Well, amen. No argument here. However, so does the ministry calling. The ministry calling belongs to the believer. Now, that calling is going to be different for each believer. The truth of the matter is, okay, it would never really be like this, but it is possible that you could have, like everybody in this room here tonight, could have the ministry calling of pastor. Now, that is feasible. Not likely, but it's feasible. But your ministry calling of pastor would be measured to you differently than my ministry calling as pastor. Because there is a specific purpose and plan for you to fulfill your pastoral calling than there is for me. Same thing if you're an evangelist, and everybody in the room is an evangelist. Well, we each are going to fulfill, well, if we know what the calling is and pursue fulfilling it, it's going to manifest itself differently relative to the measure, relative to the plan of God for our lives. So, if you don't know what your ministry calling is, would you at least be willing to accept the truth you have one? Because if you're born again, you're one of the every one of us. So there is a ministry calling on your life. Now, here's what I have noticed in a lot of Christians. They reach a point of, I don't want to use the word complacency, comfort, thank you. They reach a place of comfort in their relationship with God, and they don't press any further to find out what is the calling. Now, I'm going to use the calling of teacher for an example. A lot of times, when we think of a teacher, we may think of somebody who travels to different churches or even in arenas, conferences, and so forth to teach the Word of God. And so, you know, that's the teacher. Well, yes, that's true. But every pastor should also be a teacher. And if you have a pastor who just screams and shouts and spits and all this other, then either he has not developed that teaching aspect of his call or shouldn't be pastoring. Because a pastor is a shepherd, and a shepherd is supposed to feed the flock. which means you got to dig into the Word and teach it, line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay, now, but this whole thing of teacher, and I can remember when I taught this years ago, and man, and some people, they got this look on their face like, I never thought of that. Well, what do you know? Here's what I'm getting at. In a church, you really ought to be able to have some way of teaching your children of all ages. The little ones to the teens, and you know, just all ages of the children. What churches have usually done is looked for somebody who, number one, was breathing, number two, had a heartbeat, number three, shows up pretty regularly, and number four, would be willing to teach the class. And if they meet those four criteria, well, then you're the teacher. Well, okay, thank God for people who are willing. And I mean that sincerely. However, a person in a church who's teaching the toddlers, the third graders, the sixth graders, the whatever the grade is, that teacher should be just as anointed to teach that class as the pastor standing in the pulpit teaching the people. That person should be just as anointed, just as called. The calling of teacher is not exclusive to the people that travel around the world and teach and have the big-time ministries. But Sister Susie over here, you know, she's called to be a teacher. However, the grace for her fulfilling that calling empowers her to deliver the Word of God to five-year-olds in a way they understand it. See what I'm getting at? This is how serious all of this is. Because think of this. In the Bible it says, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old he won't, you know, turn away from it. Okay, well that training includes what happens at the church. So the teachers are supposed to be able to convey this in a way that the little kids would understand. Now, me, I really question my ability to properly teach five-year-olds. I can remember years ago, Kathy and I, the man that was over the children's ministry at the church we attended, asked if we would teach the fifth and sixth graders. Like, well, okay. I mean, it wasn't really the thing I was looking to do in life, but you know, okay. So we're in there, and I'm teaching. And I remember she came to me one time, and she said, you know, they're only fifth and sixth graders. You might want to tone it down a little bit, kind of bring it down to their level. In my mind, I was. But, you know, I tried. I tried to rectify that. Well, see, God would help me do whatever I needed to do. But the thrust of my teaching ministry is not to fifth and sixth graders. It's not the seventh and eighth graders. But there are people out there that their teaching calling, their ministry calling, their given to them by Jesus Christ ministry gift is the ability to teach seventh graders the way the seventh graders can understand it beyond what I could convey. That anointing on them is for teaching, you know, that particular age group. And they're happy doing it. Well, the problem, though, in some cases, is those people are not esteemed in the eyes of man. Well, what are you called to be? Well, I'm called to be a teacher. Oh, really? So, like, you travel to church? Oh, no. Well, you, like, Sunday mornings? I mean, you stand it. Oh, well, Sunday, yeah, but not in the sanctuary. Well, what do you do? Well, I teach the third and fourth graders. Oh, you're a Sunday school teacher. See what I'm saying? That's a slap in the face. Because that person has joy unspeakable and full of glory, if you will, because that person is called of God. The measure of their gift is for that age group. And along with that is the evangelist. There are some people, the measure of their gift is to evangelize children. And they can present the gospel message to children in a way that the kids can understand it. You can have, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, I don't think I could do that. Now, I know the grace of God will help you do any. I understand that. But as far as my calling is concerned, that's not me. But there are some people, they're an evangelist. So, okay, well, you know, Brother Joe, what do you call him? I'm an evangelist. Really? Oh, really? So, like, how many churches did you preach in last year? Well, you know, X number of churches. You know, oh, yeah, yeah. So, boy, I bet you the people in that church really, really enjoyed your messages and blah, blah, blah. Well, then it comes out that, you know, none of the adults heard him preach. It's like, well, I thought you said you were an evangelist. Well, I am. Well, if none of the adults heard you preach, for crying out loud, who'd you evangelize? That question reveals the only place evangelism can happen is with adults. Well, I evangelize children. Oh, kids. Well, I'm sure that's very fulfilling. You know, people try not to be condescending, but they are. Now, I've never heard these things discussed that way. But you guys, all of you can relate to this concept. Every one of us has a ministry calling. Not everybody is called to fulfill their ministry calling the way that we think the ministry calling is typically fulfilled. When it comes to the ministry of the apostle, okay, in the New Testament, the apostles had to travel by, you know, foot, donkey, camel, whatever, to get from place to place, and it could take them days or weeks to get to their destination. Well, you know what? We can hop in our car, and we can be further in one day than they could be walking in a month. But you don't have to travel the world nowadays to be an effective apostle. Because the reason for that is, oh, you might go somewhere. You might be there for a week or so. But with technology the way it is nowadays, you can have live face-to-face conversations with the people you're working with and even minister to the entire congregations. I've actually been asked to preach to churches in other countries by way of Skype. Now, I haven't done it yet, but I've been asked to do that. Well, see, you can't go by the way things were done in Scripture and say, well, this is the way it has to be. You know, you have to ride a camel to get from here. I do not. I'm going to drive my car. The point I'm getting at here is that every single one of us has a ministry calling. That ministry calling is defined for us by the, quote, commandment of God. Jesus is the one who stewards that calling to us. Now the Holy Spirit gets involved by adding the anointing of power for the fulfillment of the ministry calling. Remember, Jesus said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So therefore, I receive my ministry calling from Jesus, but I receive the endowment of power from the Holy Spirit. So now when it comes to the ministry calling, there's so many Christians who don't know. So I'm going to make an assumption you want to know. You say, well, you know, I'm getting kind of old here. 67 years old, and I still don't know what my calling is. I think it's a little bit late for me. I'll just kind of wait for the Lord to come back or, you know, till he calls me home. Okay, well, you can do that if you want, but you're missing it. Well, how do you figure that? Because God knows the beginning from the end, and he knew you were going to say that before you ever said it. He knew you were going to be 67 years old and didn't have a clue what your calling is, so he's prepared to help you at this point, at this age, to figure out your ministry calling.
I'm too old to go to seminary.
Well, who said you had to?
Well, I'm too...
You know who you sound like? You sound like Moses. Oh, God, I can't go before Pharaoh because of this and because of that. I can't talk right and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what happened there? God got a little perturbed, didn't he? Don't get God perturbed. You have a ministry calling. Now, here is a way to approach this. Father, in your word, you have revealed that Jesus Christ is the one who has given to every one of us a gift, a ministry gift. Therefore, Jesus, since this is your responsibility, I'm asking you to reveal to me what gift you gave, past tense, gave me. Not will give. Well, look what it says. Here in verse 8, Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and someday will give gifts unto men. No, gave, past tense. Okay, to keep this extremely simple, when did you receive your ministry calling, your ministry gift? The moment you got born again. It's measured unto you by virtue of your new nature. It's woven into the fabric of your born-again spirit. Okay, it's there. That's why you can't go to him and say, I don't want to be an evangelist. I pulled that. I tried it. I said, I don't want to pastor a church, man. You got to put up with people. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to do it. I just want to
go and preach in churches and get big offerings and go back home and let them deal with it.
Well, it didn't work that way. And I realized that is not the right attitude to have. Okay, Father, I'll pastor if you want me to. 3 weeks later, I'm pastoring a church. Go figure. When you go to God and you're just honest with him and you approach it from the perspective of Scripture, God has, through Jesus, given to you a ministry calling. Now, I don't know what it is. A lot of people come to me, what has God called me to be? I don't know. How about submitted to your pastor for one?
What has God... Okay, that didn't go over too well. Okay, what has God called me to be?
I'm talking about people in other churches, not here.
What has God called me? I don't know. Well, if he tells you, you be sure you tell me.
If he tells me, I will tell you if he tells me to tell you. Otherwise, I will not tell you what he tells me that you want me to tell you. Don't ask me to tell you that again. See, I don't like people to try and rest on what I say. Even if I do know what a person's called to be, I won't repeat it. I want you to know it by virtue of God confirming it to you. Now, it is true the Holy Spirit will help you, because as you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Well, that would include the truth of your ministry calling. But the calling, that gift itself, has been given to you from Jesus Christ. So it is not wrong to ask him, Jesus, would you please reveal to me that gift that you gave to me? Holy Spirit, help me understand the truth of this calling. And then don't predefine it by what you've seen in other people. I can remember years ago, I've shared this before, but I remember years ago, before I went into full-time ministry, I worked for a bank in downtown Dayton. Sometimes I would ride the bus. We were on the bus line. Other times I'd drive, but one of the days I just decided I'm going to ride the bus. I'm walking to the bus stop, and I'm talking to God. I said, God, you know, I just don't think I can measure up. And he asked me, he said, measure up, you know, to what? Well, in my mind, I'm thinking measure up to like these big name preacher ministries and the, you know, people you see on TV in the arenas. They're filled with 20,000, 30,000 people and all that. And he said, If you try to measure up to your standard, you'll never make it. But if you try to measure up to what I set before you, you will make it, because I will never set anything before you that you cannot do. I thought, praise God. That means I don't have to be like everybody else. I just need to, you know, press into God and find out what He wants me to do. That's one of the reasons why I'm happy here. Listen, there's all kinds of pastors out
there. How can you stay at that church? Why don't you go find you a bigger church? Why don't you go? Because
a lot of pastors, that's what they do. They go to a small church, and then they start looking for a bigger one after about a year or so, and then looking for a bigger one, looking for a bigger one. They start sending out sermon, you know, CDs. And years ago, they would send out sermon tapes and all this other, you know, quote, auditioning and all this other. You know what? When you find out what God wants you to do and you do it, you're happy. You're happy. Do I wish there were more people here? You betcha by golly, wow. I sure do. But I'm happy because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. If you do not know what God has called you to do, if you do not know this gift, this ministry gift that Jesus has given unto you, ask Him. Just ask Him. For a lot of Christians, this would be incredible revelation. I never thought of asking Jesus. Well, when you see who has that responsibility in Scripture, then asking Him would be in order. And get this, if He gave you the gift, He sure wants you to know what it is. So He's going to help you figure it out. Look, forget about what you see on your driver's license, you know, date of birth. Okay, put that aside for a minute. Start right now, right where you are. Start right now. And begin to pursue this ministry calling, no matter what it is. Well, I don't know if I got enough money. Well, maybe you don't right now, but you might next week. See, don't look at the external. Pursue what He has given you internally. Go for this. Receive this revelation from Him. And then He will nurture you along the way to its fulfillment.